Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this evening is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 38, and reads as follows. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, as the Lord Jesus was presented before the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, he did not appear to be much of a king, or at least not any kind of a king with much of any power. But what Pilate did not realize was that standing before him in great humility was his maker, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the only begotten Son of God himself. As true God, Jesus is the all-powerful King of heaven and earth. Everything in the entire universe is under his authority and control. That is what we refer to as his kingdom of power. Additionally, Jesus is the supreme ruler of his church on earth, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. That is what we refer to as his kingdom of grace, since we are made members of it by his grace through faith in his grace. Jesus also reigns over all his saints in heaven for all eternity. And that is known as the kingdom of glory, since it will be a most glorious, blessed existence for us Christians for all eternity in the joys and glories of heaven. In our text for today, Jesus testified before Pilate that he is the king of all those who hear his voice and believe the truth that he brings. Again, that is his kingdom of grace. Let this then be the theme for our meditation today, how the God-man, Jesus Christ, is the King of his church. On the basis of our text, we shall first consider the point that Pilate questioned Jesus as if he were only a mere man. And secondly, that Jesus testified to his divine nature by declaring himself to be the heavenly King of all those who hear his voice of truth. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. As you'll remember from last week, the Jewish Sanhedrin had declared Jesus to be guilty of blasphemy and worthy of death according to the Old Testament political law. The Jewish High Court, however, was unable to carry out the death sentence, because the Jews were under Roman control, and the Romans reserved the right to execute criminals guilty of capital crimes for themselves. So, in order that Jesus might be put to death, the Jews brought Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. They then demanded that he give the order to have Jesus put to death. And since they were Romans and the Jews were not Roman citizens, Jesus would be crucified. Of course, the Jews knew that Pilate wouldn't even care, being a Roman, that Jesus had blasphemed the God of the Jews. So then they invented more lies, different charges, ones that Pilate might take seriously. They told Pilate that Jesus was stirring up rebellion, inciting the people to take up arms against the Romans. Of course, he never did that. They accused Jesus of forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar. Jesus never did that. In fact, he told the people to pay their taxes. And they accused him of making himself a king. And as we'll see as we go through our text, Jesus is a king. But still, their lie was that he was setting himself up as an earthly king that would be a rival to Caesar. Now, as Jesus stood before the Roman governor, he did not look like someone who was setting himself up as a king. However, based on the accusation of the Jews, Pilate did ask him about that, if that was true, that he was making himself a king. Our text tells us, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Pilate clearly thought it was strange that the Jews, with their religious leaders, would deliver over one who was claiming to be the king of the Jews and demanding that he be crucified. Pilate certainly knew that the Jews resented being under the Roman rule. If Jesus were the king of the Jews, you would expect the Jews to rally around him and argue that Pilate should release him. But that was not the case. So the Jews weren't treating Jesus as their king. Pilate certainly didn't regard Jesus to be a king. But still, in light of the charges brought by the chief priests against Jesus, Pilate did want to figure out what was going on, what Jesus had done to turn his people against him. If Pilate only knew that he actually was talking to the Almighty God, the King of the universe, well, then he would not have questioned the kingship of Jesus, nor would he have dared to give that sarcastic answer, "Am I a Jew?" But he would have fallen down quaking in fear before the Almighty Son of God, begging for mercy. But he obviously considered Jesus to be merely a man, and a weak one at that, since he seemed to be unable to stop his enemies from doing him harm and condemning him to death on the flimsiest of charges. Clearly lies. We shall see, as our text continues, that Jesus is going to identify himself to Pilate as a true king, though not an earthly one. But even after hearing that testimony, Pilate still dismisses the Savior's words, saying, "What is truth?" Again, the Roman governor had no concept at all about the true nature, the divine and kingly nature of the man whom he was questioning. Concerning his kingly office, Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence," not from here, not from the earth. Notice that Jesus does say that he has a kingdom, hence he is a king. But he says that this kingdom, the kingdom of grace, his holy Christian church on earth, the communion of saints, is not of this world. It's in the world, but it's not of the world. It's not a worldly kingdom. It doesn't deal with worldly affairs. It doesn't advance a political agenda. And Christ the King is not like worldly kings. He didn't have a large palace or a throne. He didn't have soldiers and armies to defeat other nations in battle and levy taxes upon them. Nothing like that at all. Christ's kingdom, of which you and I are a part of by faith, is the kingdom of true believers. It is described in Scripture as being an invisible kingdom. Earlier in Jesus' public ministry, the Pharisees had asked him when the kingdom of God should come, thinking that the kingdom of God had not yet come, and believing that when it would come, it would be a visible thing, plainly noticeable. And to that question, Jesus responded this way: "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And since only God can look into the heart and see whether or not a person is a true believing Christian, we humans can't see that. We humans are unable to know for certain who is and who is not a member of this kingdom. And that's why it's called an invisible kingdom. In this kingdom, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, Christ rules over the hearts of his true believers. And he rules over our hearts through his word. His holy gospel filling our hearts with love for him and a desire to do his will. And his holy law showing us what works are good and well-pleasing in his sight. We Christians, as members of his kingdom, are happy, joyous in our service of our King. We serve him cheerfully through the new man of faith, and we sincerely pray with the psalmist, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Jesus told Pilate in our text that he did not have to worry about his servants storming the palace and physically fighting to set him free. That would be the mark of an earthly kingdom, not Christ's spiritual kingdom. The members of Christ's kingdom fight spiritual battles, not physical ones. They're real battles, spiritual battles against temptations, against spiritual enemies, against sin and false doctrine. The Apostle Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And as we read in the Old Testament book of the prophet Zechariah, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." The kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Messiah foretold in the Old Testament scriptures, was never supposed to be an earthly kingdom. That fact, however, was not understood by most of the Jews at the time of our text. The religious leaders of the Jews at that time had misled the people to think that when the Messiah would come, he would be an earthly king who would deliver them from the Romans. In John chapter 6, we learn that after feeding 5,000 people in a miraculous way, that the people who observed the miracle tried to take Jesus by force to make him a king. But he departed from them into a mountain himself alone. It was clearly not Jesus' desire to be an earthly king. But sadly, this fact is misunderstood even by many Protestants today, who are looking forward to Jesus being an earthly king in an imagined kingdom yet to come that they call the millennial kingdom. They teach that in the millennium, there will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, in which the believers are delivered from physical persecutions in this world and treated like nobility under Christ, who sets up a physical throne in the city of Jerusalem. But such millennialists repeat the same error of the Jews of Jesus' day. They have their spiritual focus blurred by earthly considerations, worldly dreams. They need to take to heart what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, namely, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. While denying that he is an earthly king, Jesus does clearly tell Pilate in our text that he is a king. We read, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king, which means it is as you say, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Jesus says that he came into the world, was born as a true human being in order to be a king. He is the anointed of God. That's what the names or the titles Christ and Messiah literally mean. The anointed one. So yes, he's anointed to be a king. Anointed with the Holy Ghost without measure. However, this king, the Almighty God of heaven and earth, is so gracious that he came into this world not to be served by his subjects. Rather, he came to serve us, to lay down his life for his servants. Referring to himself as the Son of Man, Jesus told his disciples, The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, did not come to be served, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Yes, the Lord Jesus, our King, became our substitute under the law, keeping all of God's law perfectly for us, suffering the punishment of the law, the torments of hell, when he suffered and died on the cross. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is the punishment of hell, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When Pilate asked Jesus if he were a king, Jesus replied, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So Jesus says that he came into this world to tell the truth, to testify to God's word of pure truth, the only saving truth. But that is exactly what Jesus' enemies did not want to hear, and what caused them to hate him so. On another occasion, earlier in the Gospel of John, this is in John chapter 8, Jesus told them, Ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. And again, Ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. In contrast to those unbelievers, the members of Christ's church, his kingdom of grace, are those who do hearken to the voice of his word of truth. Thus Jesus told Pilate that everyone who is of the truth heareth his voice. You and I, as members of his kingdom of grace, hear his voice of truth and follow it. To hear his voice of truth certainly means much more than just hearing with our ears. It doesn't mean to hear with the ears and ignore with the heart. Nor does it mean merely to hear with the ears and then fail to apply what we hear to our lives. Remember how the Apostle James exhorts us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. So, if anyone plainly states that he does not want to hear the voice of Christ, or makes it clear that he has no intention of following the clear word of God, then it is certain that such a person is not a member of Christ's kingdom of grace, but is instead, as Jesus describes him, an heathen man and a publican. Thus Jesus told the unbelieving Jews, "If I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." The Jews of those days were blessed in having the Old Testament scriptures handed down to them through the generations, and they were exceptionally blessed at the time of our text. They had had the Lord Jesus walking among them, preaching and teaching and doing miracles over the course of 3 years. And yet most of them rejected his words. We Christians in this congregation are exceptionally blessed. We have the Word of God taught to us in its full truth and purity. Let us be sure never to follow in the ways of those unbelieving Jews and turn away from Christ's voice of truth. The Roman governor Pontius Pilate was also greatly blessed in having the opportunity to speak with the Lord Jesus. Though Pilate only considered him to be a weak human being, the governor was privileged to be speaking to one who was far more powerful than he was, far more powerful than Caesar, the all-powerful God. But sadly, when Jesus identified himself as the King of Heaven, who came to bear witness of the truth, Pilate simply dismissed his words, saying, "What is truth?" And is that not the common response that we often hear from the children of this world? When we testify to the truth, when we try to bring them the word of the Savior, they'll very often dismiss God's word, saying, "That's your version of the truth. That's not my truth. What is truth?" So may God keep us from ever adopting that terrible attitude of Pilate, questioning the existence of pure truth, as this has been recorded for us in the Bible. Rather, let us cling to the words of Christ himself when he says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Yes, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we Christians have been brought into Christ's church, his kingdom of grace here on earth. And we have as our final goal another kingdom, not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly one. The redemptive work of the God-man, Jesus Christ, not only purchased for us a loving relationship with God in this life, but also secured for us eternal life in heaven, in that kingdom of glory, where we shall live in eternal happiness and bliss, praising our God and King with endless songs of joy. So let us be ever thankful that God has brought us into his kingdom by faith, and gratefully live in his service, in the service of our Lord and King, who laid down his life for our salvation. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.